Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A very warm welcome to this week's edition of Revival in Motion. Ahlan wa sahlan. Alhamdulillah, coming up on today's program is our final concluding part of Surah Maryam. Over the class of the last few months, we've been exploring the gems of this beautiful surah, the 19th surah of the Quran. Today, we complete the last two verses of the surah and we do an overview of the lessons that Surah Maryam teach you and I. And also coming up in the program towards the end of this hour, we have a special feature with our guest, Sister Zakira Muhammad. She is the author of Mercy and is also an emotional life coach. Today, we ask her more about our youth. And she answers questions on how to nurture optimism in our youth. But before that, to begin our hour, we start off with Surah Maryam. And we begin at ayah number 97 today on the program. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In ayah 97, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَتُنذِرَ بِهِ قَوْمًا لُدَّ. Indeed, we have made this Qur'an easy in your own language, O Prophet. So with it you may give good news to the righteous and warn those who are contentious. Let's understand more about this ayah, breaking it up as we always do into smaller segments. فَإِنَّمَا يَسَّرْنَاهُ بِلِسَانِكَ. So we have made this Qur'an easy in your own tongue, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this ayah, we're now brought to ask ourselves this question, from where will you believe and do righteous deeds? It is from the Qur'an. The Qur'an is teaching us to be Abdullah, Amatullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Qur'an easy for us. We have examples from the messengers alayhimu salam stories in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the stories of Zakariya and Yahya and Isa alayhimu salam and many others. This is a blessing and it is a mercy from Allah to have everything so clearly presented to us. In Surah Al-Qamar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in ayah 17, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. And we have indeed made the Qur'an easy to understand and remember. Then, is there anyone who will remember? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Qur'an easy. Anyone who believes the Qur'an is easy, then it will be easy for him. But anyone who puts obstacles in front of himself or herself, then it will be difficult. So the obstacles that we can choose to put for ourselves is, oh, it's an Arabic, or I'm not a native speaker, I'm too old, etc. So this is really important for us to recognize this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this assurance in the Quran that He has made it easy to understand and remember. لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ الْمُتَّقِينَ وَتُنْذِرَ بِهِ قَوْمًا لُدَّ. Only that you may give glad tidings to the muttaqeen and warn with it the لُدَّ. لُدَّ are the most quarrelsome people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says لِتُبَشِّرَ بِهِ, only that we may give glad tidings, it begins with glad tidings before warning. Why? Because the theme of Surah Maryam is servitude. And we're getting good examples of servitude of the messengers alayhimu salam. And the theme of the surah is also about mercy. The word litubashshira means good news that will affect the face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for us to understand the glad tidings and the warnings. The Quran is what gives us glad tidings. and kalamullah is greater than when a person says it in their words, even if it's in Arabic. The glad tidings from the ayah need to be apparent. In your grave, in your qabr, you will not remember people's words, only kalam al-hayy al-qayyum, kalam Allah, subhanallah. Who deserves the glad tidings? Al-muttaqeen, the pious and righteous people. The muttaqeen, but those who lost their salah or who followed temptation, then they are not muttaqeen. For Zakariya alayhi salam, the taqwa showed in the way he made the dua hidden, away from the people. For Yahya alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him taqiyya because he took the book. Ya Yahya, خذ الكتاب بقوة. He took the book with firmness. For Maryam alayha salam, she was a devotee and she even reminded Jibreel alayhi salam to have taqwa. For Ibrahim alayhi salam, there was taqwa in the way he made da'wah to his father. Musa alayhi salam was chosen to be spoken to by Allah. Ismail alayhi salam was always seeking the pleasure of Allah. Idris alayhi salam was truthful. So what are the glad tidings mentioned for the muttaqeen in Surah Maryam? The glad tidings for the muttaqeen is paradise. Paradise where there is no vain or hurtful talk, where it is all salam, all peace. It is also about being saved while on the sirat. ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Then we shall save those who used to fear Allah and were dutiful to Him. And another glad tiding for the muttaqeen is that they are gathered to Ar-Rahman as a delegation. We learned that in Ayah 85 of the Surah, يَوْمَ نَحْسُرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَانِ وَفْدًا. And another glad tiding, and this is beautiful, the glad tiding for the muttaqeen is love from Ar-Rahman and love amongst each other. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ وُدَّهَا. That verily those who believe in the oneness of Allah and in His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and work deeds of righteousness, the most gracious Allah will bestow love for them. Now the word muttaqeen is mentioned while they're in paradise. But التقو, they have taqwa, is mentioned while they're on the sirat because it's still a test. So these ayat are teaching us to give glad tidings to the ones who are good doers. Imagine giving glad tidings to one who's following his desire, subhanallah. For example, you find one of your children studying, you find another involved in a makruh act. Who do you give glad tidings to? You know the answer. The one who is doing something noble and diligent. We know that 10 of the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, were given glad tidings of Jannah while they were on earth. And we know, alhamdulillah, that they are muttaqeen. Right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows they will still do their best, despite already being given glad tidings. So these Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in did not just say, well, now that I have received these glad tidings of Jannah, I'm not going to make effort, I'm not going to pray my salah, I'm not going to strive to do more. In fact, this made them more ambitious. This made them strive more for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is teaching us everything. If you look back to what we've learned from Surah Maryam today, you'll recognize that the Quran is teaching us everything we need to know. Whether it's how we need to live our lives and how we need to worship our Lord, how to be obedient to the Sunnah, how to be good to others, how to eat and what to eat, how to live our lives, how to be with others socially, how to bring up our children. Everything we need to know for the brain and heart, we are taught from the Quran. Alhamdulillahi ala ni'mat al-Islam wa kafa biha ni'mah. All praise to Allah for this ni'mah, this bounty of Islam. Wa kafa biha ni'mah. This ni'mah is sufficient for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, wa tunzira bihi qawma al-luddah. So this ayah, 97 of Surah Maryam, Allah says, and warn with it the Luddah. Luddah are the most quarrelsome people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being amongst them. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. You know, sometimes when we want to reform a child, we exaggerate, we lie about the warnings, and this can have a negative effect. It can break the child, make the child a very complicated personality. But the Quran warns us while bringing us back on the straight path and not make us imbalanced. So Ludda, we said, is someone who always is against what you do or say. They're never with you. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, we should not be against it. So when the truth comes to the disbelievers, they will always come with an excuse. They will speak wrongly about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No matter what you say to them, they are mute to it. But still, they are warned with the Quran. So notice the warnings in Surah Maryam are according to the sin, and the warning is opposite what they say. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who understand the beauty of Islam. We are drawing very much closer to the end of Surah Maryam. We have one more ayah of the surah to go through, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. It has been a number of months since we have been working on the surah. We began with the opening verses, and we worked our way through a journey of understanding what taqwa is through the living example of Zakariya alayhi salam, his son Yahya alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam. We have looked through the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam and what he has taught us, as well as Ismail alayhi salam and Idris alayhi salam and others. Their stories have given a picture, a name, a face, a voice, a fragrance, a light to what taqwa truly is, to understanding what it means to live by taqwa and with taqwa, to understand what it means to have the identity of one who is muttaqi. And as we draw closer to Ramadan, I urge you to immerse yourself in understanding and beginning to apply a little more and more each day of what it means to be a muttaqi. If we regard that the fact that we all want to be muttaqi, we would ask ourselves the question, what are the actions that a muttaqi does that makes them from amongst the muttaqin? And so the next time I want to do an action, perhaps it's a bad habit I'd like to break, I could ask myself, is this something a muttaqi would do? And perhaps the next time I'm lazy to do a good, noble habit, I can ask myself that very same question. Is this something that a muttaqi would do? And this can really give us clear definition on what it means for us to take on this identity of having taqwa. Very often we leave the concept of taqwa right up until we enter Ramadan. We're scrambling then to embrace taqwa. And of course it can be an uphill battle. But why wait for Ramadan when none of us are guaranteed the next breath? What if we took this next breath and asked ourselves each time we chose to make a good habit or break a bad old one and ask ourselves, is this something that a muttaqi would do or say? And if we ask that question just once a day to start off with just one action or habit, can you imagine the shift we can create if we do that? Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this understanding. Ameen. We're going to go for an ad break, and when we return after our ad break, we're going to continue with the last verse of Surah Maryam. Do join us after this break. A very warm welcome to this second segment of Revival in Motion this Thursday afternoon. And we are on our journey to conclude with Surah Maryam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Such an honor it's been to be on this journey. Ayah 98, the last ayah, the last verse of Surah Maryam reads as follows. وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنِ هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. Imagine how many peoples we have destroyed before them. Do you still see any of them or even hear from them the slightest sound? Allahu Akbar. It is a mercy to end the surah with a warning, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take them out from their disbelief. وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ. And how many a generation before them have we destroyed? You need to believe that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys a people when they deserve it, and you need to believe that the destruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as He decides. Destroyed nations include Fir'aun and the people of Ad, Thamud, Lut alayhi salam's people, and Nuh alayhi salam's people. Each nation has been exposed to destroyed nations. They're aware of this, especially after the drowning of the people of Nuh alayhi salam and Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the guidance to them many times, but they destroyed themselves by following their desires. When you're a slave of Allah, you will be saved. And if you're a slave of other than Allah, then they will leave you. But when you're a slave of Allah, He will never leave you, never abandon you. هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ. Can you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, find a single one of them? The end of Surah Maryam ends with a question. Can you find anyone existing from the previous destroyed nations? No. They used to be the talk of the town, but now they're destroyed. The sea where Fir'aun and his army were destroyed is the same sea where Musa alayhi salam and the believers were saved. And Fir'aun? He is remembered in humiliation. أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. Or hear even a whisper of them. رِكْزًا means the lightest or slightest sound. They were making so much of sound and noise in their lives. They had so much spotlight. They were the talk of town. But now you can't hear anything from them. The word رِكْزًا meaning the lightest or slightest sound. Their traces are left behind only as lessons for us to not want to be like them. This last ayah of Surah Maryam is telling us that anyone who is not Abdullah or Amatullah, they will not have a sound. أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا. This is the end of Surah Maryam. Alhamdulillah for Allah's favor to have allowed us to finish. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all, purify our hearts, have mercy on us, and place these ayat in our hearts. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. I'd like in our remaining time together to focus on the lessons from Surah Maryam. And today, we're looking at some of the beautiful lessons that the surah has taught us and the advices that the surah has given us. In Surah Maryam, we learn four powerful family lessons. This 19th chapter of the Quran, Surah Maryam, is one of the most powerful surahs in the Quran. It has a strong focus on the Anbiya alayhim as-salam and their families. And this surah is full of amazing lessons for families. The first of the four important lessons we learn from Surah Maryam, and I'm reading to you from an article on IslamicSelfHelp.com, is that miracles can happen. The opening story of Surah Maryam is about Zakariya alayhi salam and the miraculous birth of his son Yahya alayhi salam. Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam prayed for a son and was granted one as a miracle at an old age. The lesson here is to never give up and to never lose hope in Allah's mercy. No matter what family problems you're facing, remain positive and optimistic. Continue to make dua to Allah for assistance and never lose hope. Miracles happen all the time. We just need to stay strong. Number two, respect your elders even when disagreeing. Respect your elders even when disagreeing. The third story of Surah Maryam focuses on Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and the da'wah he did to his father Azar. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam's father was an idol maker, so he called him to Tawheed. The main point to note in this passage is that no matter how astray his father was, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam continued to address him in the most respectful manner. Too often, young Muslims speak to their elders very disrespectfully when trying to correct them. In doing so, they cause more harm than good. So, let us remain respectful, no matter what, as that is what Islam teaches us. Number three, your family are a gift. In multiple places in Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a family member as a gift to another, even using the word wahaba, which means to gift. Prophet Musa alayhi salam was gifted with a brother, Prophet Harun alayhi salam. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was gifted his sons and grandson. Maryam was gifted with Prophet Isa alayhi salam. The lesson for us all here is that a righteous family are a gift. Cherish them and thank Allah for them. Avoid conflict and patch up things when you slip up. Do not allow the devil to cause problems between you and your family. And number four, righteousness is not guaranteed. After mentioning all of these prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And after them, there came a generation who abandoned prayers and followed their desires. So soon they will be thrown into hellfire." Surah Maryam, Ayat 59. And this verse taught us a very important lesson. Because you are a good Muslim and striving to raise your children properly, you may think they will also become righteous. However, their righteousness and the righteousness of future generations is not guaranteed. Your job is simply to show them the right way, teach them, and to pray for them. Whether they choose the right way as adults or not is not something you control. This is the hardest lesson for many of us to swallow. And pray to Allah not to test us with offspring that go astray. However, it is crucial to know this so that we can prepare ourselves to deal with the tests of life. These are four important lessons related to family taken from Surah Maryam and I've been reading to you from IslamicSelfHelp.com. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the beauty of Islam from what we have learned here today and the beauty of Surah Maryam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this full understanding. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And so we close today's program with a dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to touch those that are suffering and give peace to those that need comfort, to give wisdom to those that need answers, to give health to those that feel ill, to give strength to those who feel weakness. Oh Allah, we ask that you clear our minds so that we understand what our path is, what you intend with for our lives, and what we need to do to reach our full potential. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. After the break, we'll be listening to advice from Sister Zakira Muhammad of The Conscious Believer, author of Mercy, an activist and an emotional life coach. We ask her to tell us more about optimism for the youth, because it is seriously a topic that youth are struggling. We asked her how to instill optimism in our youth. We asked her that aside from this pandemic where youth are experiencing high levels of frustration, sadness and despair, what are some of the other factors contributing to these issues in our youth? We also asked her how can we instill optimism in our youth and how can we help our youth develop their tawakkul muscles. And lastly, we'll hear from her on any reading or audio resources that she would recommend for our listeners on this topic. That brings us to the close of this week's edition of Revival in Motion. The program will be up on podcast soon for you to have. And until we meet again in next week's program, we invite you to share with us your gems and your takeaways from our Surat Maryam series. You can always drop us an email to hana@radioislamlive.com or send us a telegram or WhatsApp message to +60 13 260 8592. That brings us to the close of this program. After this break, you'll be hearing from Sister Zakira, our guest, on the topic of instilling optimism in our youth. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiya fi ddini wa ddunya wal akhirah. Jazakallah khair so much for having me once again. It is my honor and my privilege to be here, subhanallah. Let's jump straight into it, inshallah. To answer your first question, I believe, and this is just my opinion, that social media is the biggest contributing factor, aside from this pandemic. And I say this because social media has changed people's realities to the point that they are so engrossed in these platforms or in their own platforms. So when this happens, people tend to lose touch with themselves. And due to this, we tend to hide behind the truth in our emotions, behind things like memes, trends, hashtags, and also the fitna that comes with social media. And we use this as coping mechanisms. In my opinion, I feel that social media plays a fundamental role in either desensitizing very traumatic events that happen in our lives because of the kind of backlash we receive from comments, etc., that people don't want to voice their truths as much, or that social media is used to instill and indoctrinate so much fear into our lives as well, whether it be with the pandemic, whatever is happening with and in the pandemic, or just anything else around any certain topics that do come out. There's always a fear mongering to it. So in my opinion, definitely social media. I feel that parents need to be the initial powerhouses who teach their children through the company that they themselves keep. You know, if we want our kids to be optimistic, then we need to keep the company of those that are optimistic, of those that, you know, portray those characteristic traits. If we want that for our youth, also getting those kind of role models for our youth. However, we need to also understand that optimism and realism work hand in hand. And I say this because if we forget... No, because if we are too optimistic in life and we forget realistically that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who either wills good or bad, then, you know, having optimism is good, but we need to be realistic and know that Allah is in complete control. And, you know, In my personal opinion, and you know, my husband actually said this. He says that the best statement for optimism is that Allah does know best. So I hope that answers your second question. I absolutely love this question. How can we help our youth develop their tawakkal muscles? Tawakkal, niya, shukr, and afia has been my hashtags, having complete tawakkal in Allah. So I really love this question. The answer to this question in how we can help our youth develop their tawakkal muscles is feed them with the correct protein. Right, and I'm not talking about going to all these takeaways and buying the proteins from these takeaways, but actually feeding them with the protein of Sunnah and the protein of the Quran. Subhanallah, what better protein is than this protein? And in that, making them learn and understand and apply the Quran and the Sunnah in their life situations. If they understand this, they'll understand what tawakkul really is, because they'll be able to mirror it, the Quran and Sunnah, into their lives. And they will then be able to understand what having tawakkul is, how our beloved prophets or some of the prophets before them all had that same conviction in Allah and that same faith in Allah, and they'll understand what it truly is. Entails. I'm only going to recommend one audio resource about this topic, and this resource comes from the Quran, Juz 30, and the Juz is Juz Amma, and the Surah is Surah Ad-Duha, which means the morning light or the glorious morning light. The other names is the bright morning hours. And this surah specifically is a surah for depression, for anxiety, for the pandemic that we are in, for the emotions that we go through. And it was also revealed at a time where the Prophet was depressed, and Allah sent this down to soothe Nabi Sallam. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this down to the most beloved of creation, and that is He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent him this surah to alleviate his depression and ease his heart and his mind, subhanallah, then how can we not embody this in our lives and in our time, in the depression and the depressions that still will come on this dunya, that if we just take from this surah the true meaning of it, Allah Ta'ala will remove the depression, inshallah, ameen, and grant us all the afia we deserve.